KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky. It's 29 degrees. We look for partly cloudy skies today and a high near 50. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you this hour by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. Well, the Medicare open enrollment period is winding down, and an expert says you should be sure to look to see if there might be some changes needed in your plan. Julie Brookhart of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services says that open enrollment ends on December 7th.
This is the one time of year when all people with Medicare can make changes to their current coverage if they want to. So Medicare health and prescription drug plans, they can make changes each year to things like the cost of the premiums and the cost of the benefits.
Brookhart says it's a good time to compare plans to see if a change could cost you less.
For example, a person's prescription drug needs may change over a year. They might find a more cost-effective plans for the drugs, the actual drugs that they take. So you need to pay attention to the annual notices of change you get from your current plan.
Brookhart said there is a lot of help available to walk you through those various plans.
You can either go to our website, medicare.gov, if you're computer savvy or have someone to help you. You can also call 1-800-MEDICARE, which is 1-800-633-4227. And those customer service reps can also help you.
She says there are some simple steps to take during the enrollment period to ensure that your plan is personalized to best address your health care needs.
Review your current plan and any mailings you get in the mail from your current plan to see if there's anything changing. Think about what matters most to you. You need to switch because you have added new drugs or dropped some drugs from your current plan? Is there a specialist in your plan for a surgery coming up? You may need to switch for that reason alone.
Brookhart says you can also check to see if you qualify for payment help based on your income.
There's an extra help program that pays for some of your out-of-pocket drug costs. And these are for low-income single persons or couples. And you can apply for this extra help program through Social Security as they determine eligibility.
More than 600,000 Iowans are enrolled in Medicare. Iowa has exhausted its challenges to a lawsuit filed by a former state employee who said an agency fired him because of a work injury and the cost to the state could top $1 million. The Iowa Supreme Court declined this month to hear an appeal from the state connected to a 2013 lawsuit that was filed by former Iowa Department of Natural Resources worker John Vetter. The move affirms a 2017 ruling in May of that year from the lower Iowa Court of Appeals that sided with Vetter. Vetter alleged that he was fired in 2013 after a work-related injury to his back. Following a 2015 trial, a district court judge ordered Iowa to pay more than $930,000. The state appealed, and the judge is now determining the final costs associated with the appeal. Vetter's lawyers say new expenses like interest and attorney's fees have increased the total to more than $1 million. A spokesman for the Attorney General's office has declined to comment. Presidents of Iowa's three state universities are asking for funding to pay for more financial aid for undergraduate students, but stagnant tax revenue could make additional spending unlikely. The Des Moines Register reports the university presidents requested $12 million on Tuesday from Governor Kim Reynolds. Iowa State University and University of Iowa each requested $5 million, while the University of Northern Iowa asked for $2 million. The requests come after Reynolds cautioned that Iowa may face another tight budget next year, but she says she's committed to working with residents or presidents to provide quality education. State funding at the universities was slashed by more than $30 million this year. The university presidents also requested $40 million for major campus construction projects. The amount of conventional ethanol blended into the nation's gasoline supply next year will be roughly equal to this year's required level. The EPA has met today's deadline for setting the renewable fuels standard for 2018. As indicated a couple of months ago, the federal mandate for biodiesel and cellulosic ethanol will be lower in 2018. Required production of traditional ethanol production will remain the same next year. And on Tuesday, Governor Kim Reynolds told reporters it's a yearly fight to maintain the federal production mandates for ethanol and biodiesel.
It is important to our economy. It's important to rural Iowa. It's how we add value to the products that we grow. And I'm going to get up on Friday and I'm going to go back to the mat and we're going to continue to fight on behalf of Iowans, Iowa farmers, and because we believe it's important, not only do we have the responsibility to feed the world, but we can, in fact, feed and fuel the world.
This fall, Reynolds joined other farm state workers in the biofuels industry in a public relations push to persuade President Trump to insist his EPA side with farmers and ethanol producers rather than the oil industry, which wants reduced biofuel production mandates. Reynolds called President Trump and met with the EPA administrator in October to press the issue.
It is really important to the economy, the rural economy in Iowa, especially our Iowa farmers.
Senator Chuck Grassley issued a statement last night saying the EPA's decision is disappointing and falls short of the full potential of the U.S. biofuels industry. However, Grassley said he's glad the EPA backed off on a proposal that would have reduced mandatory production levels even further. Elsewhere in area news, a man and woman from Guthrie Center were arrested Tuesday on outstanding warrants from Audubon County. The Audubon County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that Callie Jean Henderson and Todd Ray Ivins were charged with theft in the fourth degree and assault. Those charges stem from an investigation into a November 6th incident in Hamlin. Henderson and Ivins were picked up from Guthrie County authorities and transported to Audubon County, where their bonds were set at $1,300. They remained in jail yesterday pending an appearance before a magistrate. Officials at the Union County Sheriff's Office said the Union County engineer had reported on Monday that sometime between November 23rd and 27th, someone shot out the windows to an excavator. The incident happened while the machine was parked on the side of Rio Road. Damage to the excavator was estimated to be a little more than $3,330. A Nebraska man was arrested Tuesday afternoon for allegedly stealing a cell phone from a worker at Oakland Foods. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that 48-year-old Joseph Anthony Ford of Omaha was arrested around 1 p.m. Tuesday after the staffing company he works for in Council Bluffs was notified about the theft of a Galaxy 6 phone valued at $450. The phone belonged to a female worker at Oakland Foods. And the Pott County Sheriff's Office reports 44-year-old James Dale Aherns of Council Bluffs was arrested Tuesday evening on a warrant for parole violation that was associated with a prohibited acts charge, and that was connected to an unlawful possession of an explosive. Officials of the Harlan Police Department say there was one arrest and numerous non-injury accidents over the last couple of weeks. Last Saturday, officers arrested 55-year-old Kurt Edward Block of Harlan for possession of a controlled substance. Block was also cited for having no valid driver's license. He was taken into custody following a traffic stop and transported to the Shelby County Jail. Also, the Page County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on November 23rd of 56-year-old Edward Paul Swanson of rural Brattyville. Swanson was taken into custody on an Atchison County, Missouri felony warrant for tampering with a motor vehicle, first degree. He was transported to Page County Jail and released after a $7,500 bond was posted for him in Missouri. He faces court proceedings in that state. On November 27th, Page County deputies arrested 43-year-old Jason Reitz of Coyne. He was arrested in Clarinda on a Page County warrant for eluding. He was transported to the Page County Jail. Reitz posted $2,000 bond and was released pending further court proceedings, but he was not booked into the Page County Jail. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hanson reporting.